two, and welcome to the Tales of Long Watch podcast. This is episode 340. Spotlight on. Oh. Yeah, it's 340. Yeah. Spotlight on X-Men Comics. Whoops, I'm sorry. Marvel Comics, X-Men Red, number one, circa 2018. Yay! And I am Chris Mosby.
And I am not Murray Fox. No, I am Caleb Gerard.
Yes, Murray had to make an appearance at the UN. He's currently busy right now.
He's literally, according to him, he's buried in snow. And given that it's Canada, nobody is going to doubt that.
Nope. I'm buried in ice right now. We had a nasty one, and took my sister almost half hour to travel a 5-minute drive.
So, it's
nasty.
Like, it's like being on the 405 freeway in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So the local city's page on Facebook says, "We are trying to fix the roads. Please go home. You are in our way," pretty much. not exactly those exact words, but pretty much what they meant. I thought that was pretty funny. Anyway.
Well, it's sunny in 76 here in lovely Chandler, Arizona.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. I think it is. It's a little too sunny. I got sunburned yesterday. So.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know. It's just pathetic. It's sad. Sad and pathetic all at the same time.
Right.
Sadistic? Sadistic.
Who is... No. Oh, okay. Now there's the artist. Okay. It took me a while.
So, did you read the miniseries that led up to this monthly series?
Yes, I did, actually. I started it, and it talked about, look at Jean Grey number 10. So I went back and I read all the issues that I thought might fit in, and then I finished it. And Jean Grey's back. That's pretty much the
old Jean Grey, the Jean Grey that has been killed a few times.
Yes.
This was hot on the tail of them, quote unquote, killing the new young Jean Grey from X-Men Blue or New X-Men or whatever. But then they brought her back immediately in the very next issue of...
Oh, I didn't know she'd gotten killed. It didn't take, I guess.
Spoilers.
No, that's fine.
No.
I haven't been reading that title.
So now there are two Jean Greys, two Beasts, two Angels, and two Icemen and one Cyclops running around right now.
Yes, there was two Cyclops again for a little bit, but he died again.
He did. And this time, so far, it's taken. So far, that particular death has stuck.
Oh, well, didn't they say they were never going to bring her back again, too? And she's died
they
like...
They did. They also said...
Yeah.
Three times, four times, yes, and... They said Charles Xavier was going to be dead forever, and they just brought him back.
Yes, they did.
Over there in Amazing X-Men. I think it was Amazing. Was it Amazing X-Men?
Yes, it was Amazing X-Men. Apparently, he took over the body of Phantom X, I believe.
Phantom X, yes.
Whether that was actually consensual, let him have the body or not, still remains to be seen. I haven't caught up on that book yet.
Well, it is the, in my opinion, the biggest letdown so far of the, what could have been an awesome book, because it has a great cast of some of my personally my favorite characters in X-Men.
Are we talking about this one or the Awesome X-Men or the Astounding X-Men?
Yes, the A-X-Men, X-Men A.
Okay, gotcha.
Whatever. I think Bishop. It's freaking bishop in it, and they used
Yeah.
him like not at all. It's Charles Soule. I'm sorry. Every time I
Yeah.
read his stuff, I keep thinking, oh, it's like he does something that just blows my mind, and then he does five things that I'm just completely bored with. So.
Yeah, he I had that same he was writing when they did that thing where they finished, you know, Geoff Johns walked away and then he took over and they ended up destroying the core again. And you know, Hal's gonna be a bad guy
Oh,
to
in Green Lantern,
Yeah, and that's like I stopped I was like I didn't like that at all. And then there's been some other stuff of his that I kind of liked, and it's like you said, that bringing him back, I don't know, that's kind of weird.
Well, Charles Xavier again was not supposed to ever come back, and they did. So bringing
Yeah.
Jean Grey back is not a big stretch.
Well, and they did the same thing in both books too. Apparently, I guess, and I didn't know it until I read those Jean Grey issues that dealt with this. There was a piece of Jean Grey and Emma Frost, and there's a piece of Charles Xavier in Shadow King's brain, and I guess being that powerful telepaths, that makes sense, makes that possible. I mean, Spock did it, so. Yeah. That just occurred to me.
Yes.
Part of his
Spock would do that.
Catra was put in McCoy's brain. But anyway,
And it
all
all comes
that.
back to it all comes back to Star Trek. That's the honest
Yeah,
truth.
actually, it does, believe it or not.
Yeah. Yippee.
Believe it or not, I actually kind of like this issue, whether I continue reading it or not. I'm not sure. I like the art anyway. Once again, they're trying to do Charles's vision. Anyway, let's get into this. I guess I'll start.
All right. Okay, let me switch back to it. I was looking up Charles Soule, a
Oh,
Soule
stuff that he's written. Yeah,
bibliography, but
I think
yes,
he's
that
got
was
some kind of creator-owned stuff that seems to be doing pretty good, if I remember correctly.
Skull Kicker. He does Skull Kickers. That's one.
He does
That's
skull
his.
pick kickers. I thought he was Jim Zub did that.
It says in the
Oh, okay.
sense. It says,
I'll
oh,
take
he
your
did
word for
one
it.
issue. Excuse me. He did one issue of Skull
Oh,
Kickers.
okay.
My
All right
bad.
then.
But he, let's see, what has he got from Image? He's got 27, whatever the hell that is. He's got some Archaea Studio stuff.
Oh, he's the one to come up with
Maybe.
Letter 44.
Bucket of
Gotcha.
DC and Marvel junk. And then
Yes.
Sony and.
He did a lot of stuff during New 52, which
Yeah.
is the stuff that I read that I didn't care for, looks like. He did the Death of Wolverine mini, which I don't think you liked that.
I did not. And now they brought him back, so it doesn't
See
matter.
what else. You
Which, by
did.
the way, side note on that,
Okay, go
these
ahead.
little one-page things they're doing at the back of a bunch of the Marvel comics with Logan,
Yeah.
young man Logan, walking around and making these quick appearances. Really loving the hell out of that. I think that's so cool.
I heard that. Yeah, those are pretty good, I have to admit.
It's just
And let's see,
one
you
page.
I'm looking through
Very
his
nice.
list. You didn't like the rebooted Daredevil. He wrote
Nope.
that.
Yep.
So, okay. Let's see. Death of
I'm sure there's
X.
something on that list I like. I mean, let's
You
say
didn't
we could
like that
rehash it and go, oh
either.
yeah, I love the
You didn't
like the
like
hell out
that
of that.
either, I
I didn't
remember.
like that. No, that sucked doggy dicks. That was no, that was the worst.
Yeah. Okay.
Some of
Well,
it's inhuman stuff, pretty cool. A little drawn out, but still pretty cool.
yeah. Read a lot of Swamp Thing, it looks like.
His She-Hulks were fun.
Oh, you know what? I think, yeah, the series Curse Words is his too. That's, I think, the one that's been getting a lot of. Yeah. Okay.
His initial run on New 52 Swamp Thing was pretty cool. I like that.
Good, good, good.
It fell apart after about a year, but
Well, you know, that's might not have been his fault though, considering how the new 52 was.
I blame him. It's all his fault.
Okay, we can do
Hell with
that.
him.
We can do that.
All right. Anyhow, so Red, X-Men Red.
Yes.
Right.
This was not written by him.
No, it was not.
Which I've already forgot. I think Tom Taylor is it.
As we spent as we spent 10 minutes bagging on somebody who has absolutely nothing to do with this issue. So.
Yep. That's right.
Okay. Go. Go. Go.
Okay. Anyway. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's raining. Okay. Looks like a typical Midwestern house, and you hear a voice say, "Heather." And in meanwhile,
it's the psychic voice. It's got
the
thought bubble, but it's got the little lines coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that somebody's talking in her head.
Yeah. They're double air quotes, so that means it's psychic.
There you go.
So that's
how we know.
Yeah, the narrator says, "They say you can't control what a person thinks." And then you see, and you go inside, and it's a little girl sleeping, and she's waking up. "Heather, they're coming. Run, now, out the window," the psychic says. And all of a sudden, boom, or excuse me, crack. A bunch of guys with literal pitchforks and torches are bouncing or break into the house. Oh, laundry's done.
I think Charlotte's fell.
Yeah, exactly. And she's already out the window, and the voice is telling her, "Go." And she's jumping down, and you hear somebody, you know, people coming out of both windows, "Mutant!" And she's like, "Ah!"
Good Lord, one of them's got a gun.
Well, they, a lot of them got guns.
Yes, they do. Look at that. Wow. Okay.
Shotguns and everything. So she jumps off the little awning and hits the floor, splish, and she starts running. "Move as fast as you can." And here they come around here, and one of them's got a flag for some reason. Some of them's got torches. They got shotguns. They got pistols, and she's trying to run. And much like a damsel in distress of any horror movie, she trips and falls on a flat on her face. And
that's what they do.
Yeah. "Please don't. I'm not a mutant. I'm not." And one of them, they got a flashlight on her, and one of them is her mother. Because you see this lady about to blow her brains out with a pistol, and she says, "Abomination." And the little girl's mom. And then all of a sudden they start shooting. Bang, 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 bang. And there's Jean Grey, which I wish to hell she'd get a name. That always annoyed me. I can't call her Marvel Girl anymore. I don't know. Well, I can't call her Prestige. That's already taken. Anyway.
Now this is circa Jim Lee X-Men
costume.
Jean Grey outfit too.
That's where I recognized it. I knew it. It was probably the last one she wore before she got all. I don't know. Dead? I don't know.
Before,
I lost track.
Well, no, she was part of Grant Morrison's initial run on X-Men when they
yes.
went leather, when they were doing the same outfits as the movie.
Yes.
This is not identical to the Jim Lee one, but it's got the stupid headgear, which is
yes.
always.
Yeah. Yeah, the headgear with no face, with no mask.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. Her identity.
Maybe it wasn't
public.
Jim Gray. Maybe it wasn't Jim Gray, maybe it was Majora, but one of those guys, you know,
yeah.
of that same.
I've been trying to place where that came from the entire time. Okay, so she jumps in front, and she's doing her telekinesis thing, which is a little lesser known of her powers, I guess, or they don't show it as much. She jumps in front, and she's doing the psychic shields, and you hear the thud, 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 not even a full thud, just a half thud, THD, several times. Is keeping those bullets at bay. Thid. And she says, "We're shielded. Get us out of here." And then you see Nightcrawler on one side, and which I didn't realize that she and Nightcrawler were so close, but it sure seems like it in this series. But anyway.
Yeah. Seemed. I don't remember them being
you?
Close either.
Yeah. Well, I know Rachel Gray is, but. You know,
yes.
whether that still stays that way or not, because we have some crossover. Anyway, you got Wolverine there, the lower
new
version.
All new Wolverine.
All new Wolverine,
yeah.
Okay. And She picks the little girl up, says, "You're okay." And Nightcrawler, which he's one of my favorites since I was a kid. I've always loved him. "Take my hand," he says. And it's the thing at the end of my wrist. Yes, it has three fingers, but it's still a hand. And she's kind of looking at him like, "Eh?" And she's like, "Okay, fine." And then, bamf, they teleport away. And it looks like they do it two or three times. Bamf, bamf, bamf. And then, bam, there's a shark. Mother effing shark. Anyway.
Yeah.
She's like, "Ah! It's a great white." And then, he can't hurt you. I call him Harold. And then you get your line up, which this is one of those ones that's going to go back and forth. It took me a minute to figure out who Honey Badger was, but that's, if you reading All New Wolverine, I guess that they dipped from the same well. Apparently at one point in time, somebody made a clone of Laura, and that's Honey Badger.
No. I don't know who Gentle. I don't know who Gentle and Trinary are. Those are. Oops. Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa.
Sorry.
Gentle is. I remember they did a title called New X-Men for a while, and it had a bunch of kids in it. He's from Wakanda, I think, but I'm not 100% sure.
Awesome.
And
Namor shrunk.
Well, he's next to that guy, so.
Okay, he just looks small.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a shirt.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Okay, anyway. Yeah, I don't know why I just looked at mutant. He's a mutant. Character depicted as a member of the student body of Xavier. Yeah, okay. His first appearance was New X-Men Volume 2, Number 23. Yeah, okay, he can temporarily increases muscle mass. That's why it looks so big. So you got Jean Grey standing there. You got Nightcrawler, Trinary, which I have no idea who that is. I'll have to look that up. And Namor, which
I will.
When I first heard that he was going to be in red, I thought that is ridiculous. But the way they did it, I'm fully on board with it.
Well, he was part of the X-Men for a while, back when they were stationed out of San Francisco.
I remember. I tried to start reading X-Men again during that time, and it was just too damn confusing. Because I thought that was cool.
She's a new character, by the way, Trinary.
Oh, is she? Okay, nobody knows who she is either then, huh? Cool.
Not yet.
So she's saying, so the little girl, she's kind of on her rear end, and you realize that they're at a they're underground. Okay, yeah, Heather. "My name is Jean Grey. These are X-Men. I'm sorry for what you had to go through. It's not what I appears, I promise you." And little girls, "Where am I?" "You're in Cerebro, 3,000 feet down. It's like Cerebro with C in front of it."
Yeah, the word C, S-E-A.
Yeah. C, yeah, exactly. It's like it's an aquarium or something. I don't know. "You're safe. The hate can't reach you here." I really like this artist. He's done other things. Okay, The Hate Machine, Part 1, Heal the World. You got a double page. So, yeah, Nightcrawler, Namor, Wolverine, Honey Badger, which they don't show Trinary in there or Gentle either, do they? In that page.
Yeah, they disappear pretty quick.
Tom Taylor, Mahoud Asar, which I know he's done all kinds of stuff. But anyway, yes. Like a phoenix rising from the ashes, Jean Grey was returning to life, and while the world Jean has returned to is vastly different from the one she left, one constant remains. X-Men still protect a world that fears and hates them. That hates and fears them, excuse me. It doesn't matter, either one. So yeah, there we go. Oh, man, they got a lot of covers. I'm going to have to hunt those down. Go! Go, Caleb.
All right, so now we're two months earlier, and we're in Roosevelt Island out of New York City.
But not...
And a woman is getting carjacked.
Not two blocks over, four blocks east. Not that, though.
No, different New York City.
Okay.
So this woman's getting carjacked, A couple of guys with ski masks. Do they even make ski masks anymore?
Yes, they do.
So anyhow,
Yes, they do, as a matter of fact.
they do. Awesome. Well, maybe I'll get myself one just so I can have. I don't, no, I'm not. I don't care. So the woman's on the ground. She's like, "No, Toby!" As they drive off with her car, and the guys realize, "Oh crap! There is a baby in the back seat of the car we just carjacked." The baby starts to cry and then goes all banshee on these two guys with the ee and blows out their eardrums and breaks a lot of windows and shatters basically everything with its baby cry. And in rush all new Wolverine and Honey Badger. Honey Badger, what is it, Wolverine? I don't think so, Honey Badger. What? It says, what? Human, what? So
What?
Honey Badger can't hear, which is very funny. And Wolverine's nose is starting to bleed, and then she puts her hand over the kid's mouth, which, oh my God, is there not a parent in the world who has not wanted to do that at one time or another? I would never do that, of course. I would never have done that. So,
For a long period of time.
Honey Badger says,
Oh, sorry.
yes, right. Honey Badger's got, she's got hair clips. She's just a little kid with those funky goggles that have no possible way of physically staying on her face.
Spirit gum, man.
And that's that's how Robin does it. Okay. And she says, "Oh man, that's so much bet." And the baby starts screaming again and blows Wolverine's hand apart, and all she's
Strips
left with
the
is
flesh
skeleton
right
hand.
off of it, man. That's just, it's
And the
just,
roof of the car.
yes.
Arg,
Yeah,
they
that's,
say. And Jean.
I believe I actually said, "Oh snap," out loud when I saw that.
When her skin came off.
Yeah.
Pretty cool touch. And they fly back, and all of a sudden they're suspended in air, and Jean Grey is telekinetically holding them in place. And the baby's still screaming like a banshee. Again, I think we've got our new banshee, ladies and gentlemen. And she's saying, "No, his name is Toby. He's very scared." And she telepathically shuts his powers down. Boom. And we get a shot that the whole street is demolished. And this snotty crying kid. And Jean is talking to the mom. She says, as she's handing the baby back, she says, "Mutant powers don't usually come on until adolescence, but they can occasionally manifest earlier, especially under great stress." And she says, "I've given him a psychic suggestion to not cry so much." Oh, where were you? Where for me 2
Yeah,
years
no
ago,
kid.
Jean?
Go make a mint off of that power.
Yeah, just right there alone. And she says, "Which should have the added benefit of letting you get more sleep with a newborn." And I've had a quick telepathic conversation with my associate, Hank McCoy, and he believes he can make a Toby a dampener in a range of different colors. And Honey Badger says, "Fashion shouldn't be ignored when nullifying destructive screaming powers." And Mom says, "Thank you." He says, "This is only temporary. Once he's old enough, we can begin working with him on controlling his powers at the Xavier Institute. Brought to you by the people of Xavier Institute." And copyright. No, and she says, "But Amy, there will be public fallout from this. I'm sorry. I'll be monitoring. And Wolverine lives nearby. We're here to help if you need help," says Wolverine with her skeletal hand. "Or sanctuary. And can you take it from here? I need to get some water." Chris?
Oh, yeah, hold on a second.
Oh.
Uno momento. And I mean, oh, yeah, you're cutting out again too.
Oh.
Okay. No, you're fine. I mean, you're getting scratchy. I don't know. Maybe put it on hold again. I don't know. That was no bait. So you got this guy and think of it's a news program. Got a little ticker tape going on there on both sides, anti-mutant groups emboldened by blah, blah, blah. That was no baby. From the moment of its conception, it was a ticking time bomb. And then you got your counterpoint a woman saying, "He's a child, Harold. 10 fingers, 10 toes. And a voice that can shatter windows and eardrums," he says. "Then what do you propose?" "United Nations is already set to meet to discuss the rise in mutant-related incidents and the latest threat to our way of life. But I think it's obvious to anyone with half a brain it's time for genetic testing in utero." Utero? In the womb is what he's saying. Or before that. "My language skills are lacking today, apparently." She's like, "For what purpose? If an unborn child is found to have the mutant gene, what will be done?" "Exactly what should be done," he says. "I'm sick of political correctness getting in the way of our safety." Well, that sounds awful familiar, doesn't it?
Yes.
One of those pictures of showing her
except
watching
he's,
that.
Except he's advocating abortion as opposed to the other way around.
Well, yeah. Well, I won't get into that. Reminds me of a thing I saw in the news about some kid that was born with a deformed face, and I guess some trolls were using it as a campaign for abortion. Didn't go over very well. It was pretty bad. Anyway, so she's thinking to herself, "I've gone too long to watch the world thrown through a screen. I need a different perspective." And she's flying out the window as he's still speaking. So she gets up to acting very much like Xavier, except for the flying part. Anyway, "I've never felt the world so..."
And walking.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I got that walking thing going on. It seems like at one point he had some very mild telekinesis or something. I don't remember. Anyway, and she's apparently scanning thoughts from on high, much like Martian Manhunter used to do. "I've never felt the world so angry, so divided. I can hear you. I can hear your pain, your fear, your anxiety. I want to help. I don't know how, but I'll learn." That's kind of cool, actually. She goes to Turkey. "My name is Jean Grey." She's talking to some guy, Pakistani woman. I said, I'd like your help. In East Timor, no idea where that is. She's talking to another person. "It won't take long. I have arranged a meeting place." Wakanda. She's talking to, "Years ago, a world died. That wasn't Eugene. That was the Phoenix. I was a part of it, Black Panther. And I won't let mutant kind in this world tear itself apart. Not if I have the power to prevent it." And Black Panther replies, "What do you want?" "I want to heal the world. But I don't know where to begin." So now she's in a room, standing by Black Panther. And she's talking to all these people that she talked to before. And she's gathered a bunch of smarties from all over. That's pretty much what she's telling them. "That's why you're all come in. Why I've gathered here." What?
It's like in Watchmen when he gathered up all the various different artists and big thinkers, and then created the big space monster that almost killed everyone.
And then he killed them all because they knew.
Yep.
Didn't he?
Yes, he did.
All right, here we go.
People better watch out.
Yeah, no kidding. "The world is on a divisive path that will lead to more fear, more violence." Man, if that isn't apropos for right now, I don't know what is. So she's standing there and says, "You are some of the greatest thinkers on Earth. Artists, scientists, psychologists, doctors, mathematicians." Wait, scientists don't count because, well, never mind. I'm getting on a political rant. Let me scale it back. No politics. 1 second. Okay. I'm better.
Switch that switch?
Yeah, okay. I switched it back off. Okay, engineers, humanitarians, activists, leaders, and Nobel Peace Prize winners. "All of you have one in a generation minds. I'd like to borrow them." And Black Panther says, "What are you hoping to discover, Jean? An idea." So she goes out and touches all their minds. "A way forward," she says mentally, because we've got your double hashtags, as I like to call them. Then she reaches out to Kurt, Xavier Institute later, Jean. And she says, "Can we talk?" Thinking, "Where are you?" And she says, "Follow my thoughts." So she teleports, and they're somewhere in the country, up on a mountain thing. Nice view. She says, "I have an idea, Kurt." "What is it?" "Yeah, so of all the X-Men that she asked basically to be her second, right? That's what I'm getting, because the very first one she contacts is him. Now, you would think she would contact one of her original X-Men members.
Like Hank McCoy, for
Yeah,
instance. Yes.
like Hank. Well, she's on Uncanny Avengers right now, I think, isn't he?
Maybe.
I think he
I don't
is.
know.
I was reading that X-Men No Surrender, or excuse me, Avengers No Surrender storyline. That's where he went
He's in there,
after.
yes.
Yeah, it's where he went after all the shit hit the fan, and he was pissed off at all his X-Men buddies. Anyway, so they're
Boo-hoo.
talking. Yeah, I know. Whatever. Yeah, I saved the mutant race, and why? Anyway, and she says, "I'll show it to you." Says after she has an idea, so she basically links minds with him, and they both sit down on
Implants
the
in
yeah
and implants the thought that she gathered from all those big brains back in
yeah
Wakanda.
see, I'm having a little issue with that, with touching all those minds and stuff. I wonder if she made it did like Xavier would do, and it's like, "Oh, you just forget I was here," things like that. I don't know. And he said
This
this.
isn't the Jean Grey that you were looking for.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think she forced all those people to go there, though. She could have planted a suggestion in their mind. Anyway, so you see the side of Nightcrawler's face, and he says, "Thank you for sharing it with me." And he's got tears running down his face.
Fancy.
Well, you know, he's the most spiritual one of the group. You know that.
Yes, he's a priest.
Yes, he was. He was a priest, yeah.
Yes.
You're going to upset a lot of people. I know. You'll need protection. She says, "Probably." And they won't just let it just take it out on you. She says, "No. We will need to be able to protect the entire world. We will need a team." She says, "We? Well, yes. Did you think I let you do this without me? Are you the least intuitive telepath ever?" "No, I was hoping you'd join me, Kurt. I could use a friend and the soul of the X-Men beside me." The soul of the X-Men. Okay. But
I know.
people.
He is. No, he totally, he's always, like you said, he was the most spiritual. He was, for many years, he was the conscience of the team.
Yeah,
So.
and he was always my favorite because of that. I think that's part of it. Despite the fact that he could teleport and he had three fingers and a tail, I don't know, maybe that's part of it too. Anyway, but people fear change even more than they fear mutants. And I'm talking about changing the world. And I truly believe you can, Mein Gott. I missed you, Jean. Please try not to die again. Sure, but only because you asked so nicely. And they both died and come back.
Yes. He has no soul now.
Yeah, I was reading that somewhere else. He came back from. He left his soul in heaven and he can't go back.
Yep.
So, anyway,
He's
so.
essentially immortal. He's essentially immortal now.
So, what's first? And she's here flying. First, I head into the sea and take it away.
All right, so she's under the sea,
Yes.
under the sea. She's created a little air bubble around herself, and she's coming to Atlantis. And we off screen, we're Jean Grey. Welcome to Atlantis. And page forward, there we go. And we see Namor sitting there in his codpiece and his cape, and she says, and he says, "We don't receive a lot of visitors." And she says clearly, "The thoughts of fish are small, but there are many. There was an angler fish on my way down who was definitely surprised to see me." A little small talk. Anyhow, so she says, "I'm building something, Namor. I'd like you to be the part of it." And he says, "You want me to be an X-Men? I don't have time to play hero. I am a king. I have far larger responsibilities." And she says, "You are a mutant leading a nation, and I'm not here for you alone. I wish it were that simple, but I'm heading to the United Nations and I need a country behind me. So, side note, I thought Atlantis had been destroyed by Steve Rogers's or Steve Rogers, but
well, didn't that involve the cosmic cube, and didn't that little girl put everything back the way it was supposed was before?
Some of it. I guess this is one of the things she put back, is she undestroyed Atlantis, but bleh. Anyhow. So now we're
I didn't
back
read that, but I remember hearing about the little kid with the cosmic cube, so
yeah.
I think you were the one.
So we're back in that. Yeah, that was probably me. Yeah, because I read that series and it was not as bad as it could have been. Anyhow, so we're back in New York City.
I don't know if that's
New York City.
I don't know if that is a that's not praise for it, is it?
No, it was subtle indifference.
Okay.
So we're at the United Nations in New York City, and Jean Grey is addressing the UN. She says, I want to thank you for allowing me to speak today on behalf of mutant kind, sort of like in the first X-Men movie when Xavier was talking to the UN.
Yep.
And she continues, on behalf of mutant kind, I think it's fair to say that every time power decides to discuss dealing with a minority without involving the minority in the conversation, it ends badly.
There's some more profound words right there. Anyway.
Yes. So,
click.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we should send a copy of this to the White House, please.
Yeah.
Not that he'd read it. It's more than...
No, he'd say there's too many words.
Not enough pictures.
Yeah. Go ahead.
There are countries represented here where it is legal to imprison mutants without charge. There are countries where it is legal to kill anyone suspected of being a mutant. Mutants need a voice in this organization. And one of the ambassadors says, Ms. Gray, you are a species, not a nation. You are stateless. Sort of like ISIS. That's what she's comparing them to, by the way.
Yeah.
And Jean says, with respect to the ambassador from the United Kingdom, if you're treating us as one group, and we need to speak as one group. And every time mutants have come together to live in one place, Genosha, Utopia, which was when Namor was a X-Men, by the way.
Yep,
back in Utopia.
That I remember.
We have simply made ourselves a bigger target. Whenever mutant kind has tried to live alone, apart, we have been slaughtered. And the ambassador says, you are a telepath, one of the most powerful on the planet. You cannot sit here and expect us to believe our minds would be free, our votes wouldn't be tainted. Jean says, with respect, Ambassador, I could be outside this room and still easily reach your mind. This is about trust. Charles Xavier had a dream, a simple dream. Humans and mutants at peace. Charles believed we could win you over by being heroes when needed and being invisible when not. The mutants shouldn't need to be heroes for acceptance. Some see us as an evolution. And then she speaks in their mind. She says, I'm inviting with the, what did you say, double quotes?
Yes.
I'm inviting you, all of you, to evolve with us. And they stare at her like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And then Namor stands up and she says, Atlantis recognizes the mutant nation. And then an ambassador from Wakanda stands up and says, Wakanda too recognizes the mutant nation. Which, by the way, is, again, side note, Wakanda and Atlantis are like mortal enemies.
Oh, so, I did not know that.
Yes, Atlantis destroyed a big portion of Wakanda a couple years back.
Wasn't that during Avengers vs. Dalek Man?
It was when all the characters were Phoenixes. Phoenix.
That was Avengers versus X-Men.
We
covered that. I remember.
Yes, we did.
the whole series, by golly.
So then it's later, and Jean is saying, thank you again, and please thank King T'Challa for me, as the ambassador from Wakanda walks away. And up walks all new Wolverine. She says, mm-hmm. I'm glad we came to watch. That was impressive. It was a first step, says Jean. And Honey Badger says, your first step publicly stomped a whole lot of intolerant nations. I can't wait to see your second step. And then the ambassador from the United Kingdom walks up and says, "Miss Gray, may I have a word?" Jean says, "Ambassador, yes. I understand the UK has misgivings, but I would like a chance to convince you. Your vote on the Security Council will," and she interrupts her, says, "Oh, ignore my posturing for the cameras, Ms. Gray. It's supposed to convey strength or some such nonsense." And she looks up at the flags surrounding the United Nations, and she continues, "We were once a large power, but we have been pulling ever inwards. We need allies. If the world wills it, Britain will not threaten our standing far further by, let me try that again. We need allies. If the world wills it, Britain will not threaten our standing further by voting against Mutantkind. Of course, there's one problem."
I'll take over. Oh, this is
Yeah,
when it
go for it.
goes. This is when it gets flaky. All of a sudden, she gets this evil look on her face. You are not in control here. You are not the Phoenix anymore, Jean Grey. You cannot rise. Not against the true power. She's like, what? You upset the status quo. Now the status quo will upset you right back. And she's like this real mean look on her. I'm quite annoyed. I was working on something, and you're completely ruined this ambassador for me. You're mine. There's something in your, and also, ah, no, Jean says, and then her head
She's
explodes.
reaching for it. It's really important. It's really important that she's reaching for it. That's
Yeah,
actually very.
she planned it pretty good. And there's like green crap coming out of the ambassador's head, and she says no, and she's reaching for her, and then her head explodes, and it just pretty much makes it look like she did some kind of whammy and blew her head up.
Yep, sure does. That's what the
Not
cameras see.
good. Yep. Don't move. The mutant. She just. She's like, no, I didn't. And Nimmer's like, don't shoot. Don't. And of course, the UN troops are on the floor. Get on the floor. Which actually, yeah, I guess you could call it a floor. And I was surprised for this panel. Namor actually jumps in front of the bullets, does a Wonder Woman thing, tries to deflect it. One and one actually hits her because she's like. And then Wolverine's like, Jean, and pops a couple of claws and gets rid of those guns. And my favorite elf jumps in, bamps in, we need to go. Wait, I need to speak to them. I need to. And he teleports them away. And everybody's like, what? They say you can't control what's in a person's head. They say this because they're unimaginative, weak-willed sheep. She's standing there holding a head of a sentinel, human-sized. I am Cassandra Nova, and I can control what's in a person's head. I can make them see red. And in the next scene, you see she's got blood on her face. Like she got grazed by a bullet standing there. And she's real sad looking. And next, exiled. And I looked up Cassandra Nova because I'd forgotten who that was. That's like sort of Xavier's sister, evil twin sister thing. Some things about, there's a bunch of stuff about midichlorians and other things like that. It was weird.
It's another Grant Morrison.
Yes. And they showed some of that in that Phoenix series too. Because it seems like
Yes.
that was that the last time she was here that she was alive was during that series? Or was
Which,
there,
Cassandra Nova?
no, I'm talking about Jean Grey. Because that seems like they focused on that a lot.
Yeah, Jean Grey died at the end of the Morrison series.
Okay, and she's been dead since then, really? Huh.
She has. Yeah, that's a pretty long-standing death
Yes, it is for them.
for superhero.
I didn't realize it'd been that long. That's probably at least 10 years, I'd say, right?
Yeah, because then he because then they wrote that the Cyclops character is hooking up with Emma Frost, who
Right.
was, essentially Jean Grey, and
That was, trying to think. That's when Josh Whedon took over for a bit, right?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, that I actually read. That was
Yeah,
really good.
and then they killed Kitty Pryde, but didn't kill her, and then blah blah blah, and here we are
Yeah.
today, and nobody's dead.
No.
except for Cyclops.
Yes, Cyclops is dead.
But he only died 2 years ago, so.
Yeah. Has it been 2 years already? Wow.
I think it's 2016. I could be wrong.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's just crazy, man.
Getting old. Sorry.
I don't know. I like this. This reminds me of the X-Men stuff when I was a kid. So, you still there?
Yeah, I'm just not clear on the timeline. I'm confused. So, the beginning of the book is 2 months from now, but this whole thing with the UN, when did that take place? Is that before they were saving before they saved the kid? Is it at the same time they were saving the kid?
That's a good point. That is a very good point.
That's where I'm a little, not a little. I'm not understanding quite where that fits in. But
yeah, I'm not
something
really
tells
sure.
me all this stuff with you. Something tells me the stuff with the UN is before the beginning of the book. But I
that would make sense, yeah, because those people that were chasing that little kid looked like they were being controlled,
yes.
or at least pushed in a direction. You know.
Yeah, no, the mob tried to kill the little girl and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas my favorite line from the X-Men movies, I think it was the first one, is, "Well, Bobby, can't you just stop being a mutant?"
No, we can't. All right, good choice. I enjoyed it on the second go round. I mean, I liked it the first time, I enjoyed it the second time, and certainly grabbed me better than some of the other new X-Men books that have been coming out, like Iceman or Astonishing X-Men.
Yeah, I was disappointed in that. I'm really enjoying Blue and Gold, though. So, oh, wow. It was a Liefeld cover of that. Interesting.
Of what?
Of X-Men Red, number one. I'm looking at it right now. I'll add it to the post. I think it was all of them. I don't know. All right, then. Good stuff. Good stuff.
I need a nap, Chris.
All right, go ahead. Nap. Take a nap, dude. You have my permission.
Thanks.
Go for it. So, okay, that's it. As always, you can send us an email.
Yes, you can do that stuff.
Yes, podcast@talesofwandbox.com, and let us know what you think there. Or join us on a Facebook page. Who knows? I don't know. I'm going to do something with that so more people will join. What else? Oh, yeah. Actual episodes. You can come on in there and check it out. Let us know what you think there. And, yeah, that's it for this week. We are out.
Booyah.